Good morning.
It's really good to be here with you this morning, especially with the blessed visit of His Grace. I feel I'm honored to be with you and to deliver the word of the Holy Spirit this morning. What is the main point of the gospel of today? Every kingdom divided on itself cannot stand. And this message is actually repeated quite often throughout the Coptic year. So it is not something we didn't hear before. And one may ask, why we come today and read this gospel? Actually, we are in the month number 12 in the Coptic year. So we are coming to the end of the year. And if we follow the message of the church during this month, as you may know, that the way the gospels or the messages are spread throughout the Coptic here, there is a certain technique for the way the church deliver the message. So for example, we come now to the end of the Coptic year. So what would be the best topic to deliver to the faithful? I think every time we approach the end, we concentrate on our eternity. What's going to happen? What's after the end? Every day before we sleep, again, the church reminds us with the end. This is the end of the day. What will happen after the end? So, of course, we know that there will be a judgment day. Christ will come to judge the living and the dead. Everyone will make an accounting for his deeds. All the books will be open. Are we really ready for this? So, if you, as I said, follow how this message is delivered, you will find that 2 weeks ago, at the beginning of this last month, the gospel was about the vineyard. And that reminds us with the whole story from the beginning. From the beginning, God planted for us, created for us, this earth, which is that vineyard. And He did everything for it to bring good fruits and put us in charge. Adam was in charge of everything on this earth, and we inherited that mission. And the main point is to bring fruit. God is expecting fruit from each one of us. But we tend to forget, tend to keep the fruit for us, tend to deviate from the main message. So God sends prophets, sends messengers, and we didn't pay attention to all of these. And finally, He sent His own Son, thinking that we're going to respect Him. But what happened? We killed him. We crucified him. And as that parable ended, what the vine owner will do? Will take that vine from these people and give it to others who can bring the fruit. In that parable, the relationship between the vine dresser and the vine owner, the relationship between us as the vine dressers and God as the real owner, seems to be harsh a little bit. You are working for me. I expect you to bring the fruit. I demand you. And if you don't, I'm gonna punish you. So that relationship is harsh. So that's why last week, which is the second Sunday of this month, we were supposed to read a different gospel than what we have read last week. We're supposed to read about Levi, St. Matthew, who was a tax collector, and how our Lord Jesus Christ went all the way to him and invited him to follow him, and how this tax collector left everything and followed him. Why? Because of the love he felt. Because how this King of Kings, come all the way to me, invite me. I am the sinner. I am the tax collector. Tax collector was an image of a very, really vicious person. Everybody hate. Yet the King of Kings didn't forget him. Went to him at the table where he exchanged the money and invited him. Why we didn't read this gospel last week? That because just it happens, as you all know, that we were celebrating the feast of the Transfiguration. And of course, that feast as a master feast will override any other occasion. So that's why we didn't read about Levi, but we read about the Transfiguration. But again, let's go back to that message. This relationship between us and God is actually connected through love. The love of God for everyone. The will of God that each one of us be saved. Each one of us to come to the knowledge of the truth. And between these two, now the message is balanced. There is love, but also there is a judgment day. God is merciful, but it doesn't mean I take advantage of this mercy and I don't bring the fruit. So together then, we form an ideal kingdom. We form this kingdom in which God is the king. As His Grace was explaining in the Bible study yesterday, that kingdom was crowned, that king was crowned on the cross. Started by Him, the King of Kings, willing to sacrifice His own life for His people. So it's a different kingdom. As I said, it's an ideal kingdom. What's bad in this kingdom? What's wrong in this picture? Is the devil. And the devil, even that devil, is not the maid of God. For God made everything good. We call God the maker of all good things. The love. So how that God will create such evil? How that God will make the devil? So we all know that that devil was originally an angel, made good, made on God's likeness. But because of the free will, which we all enjoy, that love of God compel him to give us the free will. Because he doesn't want us to come to him tied, chained. No. He wants us to come to him with our own choice, our own free will. And because of that free will, now we have the devil. So that devil is ruining the picture. And that's why you find really very, very few times when Jesus was angry. And he was angry when they resembled him with the devil, which is totally wrong, totally against God's will. I started with this plan, with this image. I have a kingdom, and all these people are members in this kingdom because of the love connecting us. The devil ruined that. The devil make us divided. And when they say he is Beelzebul, he is the head of the evil spirits, that's really unfair. And that's really hurting. And that's why Jesus says, how can you compare me to the devil? And that's why he ends up by saying, all sins can be forgiven, but not the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Because you cannot say that he is Beelzebul unless you are blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. He accepted anything bad directed to him personally and say, I will forgive you for that. But to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, to compare me with the evil spirit, this is not accepted. But just in case that anybody feels at one point he spoke against the Holy Spirit, then he will feel, I have no hope. Of course, that's not what the intention of Jesus. All can be accepted when all repented. So even that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, what Jesus meant was to keep rejecting the Holy Spirit in your life. Then how can you repent? How can you come back? That's why it will not be forgiven. But at any time, you accept God in His Trinity, then all sins will be forgiven. So let's go back to this kingdom then. This kingdom, the only element to divide it, to destruct it, is that evil spirit, that devil. And our task then is to keep the devil away. Our task is to keep the kingdom undivided. And of course, when you say the division of that kingdom, what is the kingdom? In its simpler form, it is the kingdom of God, in which he is the king, we are the members. But each one of us, in fact, can look at himself as that kingdom. We are the altar of the Lord, and the Spirit of God dwells in us. So that's a kingdom. What's a kingdom but a throne? I am the throne where God dwells in me. God reigns over me. So I am with God as just a person with him, form that kingdom. And that kingdom shouldn't be divided. And how my kingdom within me can be divided? St. Paul explained this. He talks about the flesh and the spirit, and how these two are always opposing each other. So you want that kingdom to stand, then make the flesh submit to the spirit. Side by the spirit, not by the flesh, because the flesh is earthly. It's going to pull you down. But the spirit is heavenly. It is a breath of God. So if you side by the spirit, you are being lifted up. If you side by the flesh, you are being pulled down. And each one of us then needs to fight this war within himself. I need this kingdom to stand. I need the devil out. I need to submit the flesh to the spirit. But also on another level, that kingdom is each family. If you look at the wedding ceremony where the bride and the bridegroom, both of them wear crowns and put priest robe, because there is a unit of that big kingdom is going to form. And that unit also, that little kingdom, need to stand, need not to be destroyed. So how then, at that level, I keep my kingdom standing? I need also to keep that unity between the husband and the wife. I need to keep that right relationship between parents and children. I need to keep this kingdom undivided as a unit in the kingdom of God. If you look at a larger scale, then that kingdom is where we are now. That church is the kingdom of God, in which the Lord is on the altar. Jesus is present on his throne, and we all members of this kingdom. What do we do for this kingdom? How can we keep this kingdom standing, not distracted? I'm sure many of us nowadays follow all these attacks against the church. Who's really benefiting from this? But the kingdom is being what? Divided. And unfortunately, sometimes it is divided by our own people. Some of us always pointing fingers, always attacking. Instead, even if you see something wrong, there is a good way to repair and fix rather than destroy. So there is a responsibility then on each one of us for this kingdom to stand, to be in the original plan of our Lord. I think probably the main message today is for each one of us to ask himself or herself, what is really my role in that kingdom? What am I doing? Am I helping to bring the fruit? Or am I destroying and distracting and corrupting the kingdom? Whatever I do, whatever I say, whatever my action is, does it help the kingdom or it hurts the kingdom? And then one last point is when Saint Mary and Jesus' brothers came to him. See, that's another thing, how we destroy our kingdom. So how many talks about who are Jesus' brothers? Whether Saint Mary get married after giving birth to Jesus or not, whether she had more children or not, and that's all distraction. That's all even against the very simplest spiritual idea about this kingdom. See how Jesus answered that question when they told him, here is your mother and here is your brother are looking for you. He looked at everyone in the kingdom, every man and every woman sitting there, and asked the question, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? But each one of you who do the will of God. This kingdom is not earthly. This kingdom doesn't go through this kind of earthly relationship and marriage and having children. It doesn't make any sense. Mary, Saint Mary, the mother of God, to again resemble her was just a regular wife on earth. She is at the right hand of the king in that heavenly kingdom. So why would we bother to compare her with earthly and pull her down? In this kingdom, it's a family, yes. It's mother and brothers. Jesus said, I will not call you slaves, but I will call you what? Brothers. What does that brother means? Means now Mary had birth and get married and give birth to each one of us? Or there is spiritual meaning here for the words? When St. Mark today in this gospel mentioned that his mother and his brothers are looking for him, was he really trying to tell us Jesus had brothers, fleshly brothers? Or he was preparing for that answer of Jesus? The answer of Jesus, who is my mother? Who is my brothers? But each one who do the will of God. So this family making this kingdom, we are related to each other in that family through our relationship with God. If we are doing the will of God, then we are together brothers and sisters and parents and children. But if we take the will of God out, then we become earthly. We become being pulled down. So as we come closer now to the end of the Coptic year, as you will see next week, God willing, now the top of the whole message in this month are the signs of the second coming of Christ. So the whole story now is in front of us, revealed. God wants us to be with him a family. Each one knows his role. Each vine dresser needs to bring the fruit. We are connected with each other, with God through love. We need to keep the devil away, because the devil is the one who's going to destroy this kingdom. But don't forget, there will be a judgment day. There will be a day when everyone give an account for his deeds. And that will be the message we're going to speak about next week. Let us all work on keeping this kingdom, on keeping the church undestroyed, standing fast. Glory be to God forever.